Blog Talk Radio.
Having a great day today. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you have a better weekend to follow. Hope everyone's doing all right. I'm looking forward to the poetry tonight. I really am. I have to say that Rex is running a little late. He might be running a little later. It all depends, I guess. But I have Weaver of Dreams with me. So, hi, Kate. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
She's wonderful. I'm jealous. That's how I am now. I'm doing all right. Damn, I want to be wonderful too. Think of that.
I don't think it's how I am. I think it's how I feel. So I'm not a wonderful person, but I feel wonderful. There we are.
As long as you feel wonderful. People ask me, and I say, if I was any better, I'd be twins. So you can't beat that, right? You know, we all have our answers, don't we? We all have our answers.
Yeah. We certainly do.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. We got a good board tonight for the show. I have a board full of poems. I have like 8 or 9 audios. I mean, it's looking nice. It's really looking nice. Great poem.
Certainly is.
Great poem. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
There are some amazing titles that caught my eye. Some of them are fabulous. I feel it in my elbow. That's got to be good.
I'm kind of looking forward to hearing that one. Oh, my God.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So we're just hanging in there, girl. Hanging in there. I don't know what I was cooking, but I guess we'll figure it out. Let me see. What do we have? I got stuff from last... Yeah, I got three carryovers from last weekend. Or last Friday, actually, not weekend. But, you know, and then all the rest are current affairs. I'll put it that way. I'm sure some of them might be affairs. I see a few names here that might lean that way.
Really? That's so you've got all the gossip.
Oh, I don't know the gossip, but I know people tend to lean a little bit into certain types of poetry, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
You know.
I don't know. So anyway, yeah, it's kind of quiet. I think everybody's kind of like wandering around doing their thing. So it should be fun.
There'll be people popping up. I'm sure there'll be people popping in, popping out.
Wandering eventually. Most likely. So so I'm kind of looking forward to that. But I'll tell you what. Let's see if we can get this party started. Oh, I think I have. I do. Yes, I do. Okay. Sorry, I got a little confused for a second. I'm going to put this piece up, Kate, and I'm going to have you start us off for tonight. Because, you know, I try and do that.
And no problem. Thank you.
Passion's Promise, and it's called Drenched in Depression. So Drenched in Depression Sweat. Sorry. My Passion's Promise. So whenever you are in.
Okay, just give me a moment. It's not popped up yet. Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I always feel so happy when it appears. It's like, you know, I'm not going to look at a blank screen anymore. That's very good. Oh, my goodness me. Okay. Drenched in depression sweat. A ferocious beast yearning to break through, tightening the chains as extra precaution, a noose in place. Devious thoughts escapading around in my mind, shaking, I have no control. A piercing sound inviting me, come join us. There's your brother, seeing I fall, heat of the images drenching my skin as blood trickles from my eyes. Lips quivering, hands trembling, metal within my grip, aimed and ready. Simple solution, a worthless sack of life wasted, taken away. Souls pleading with my heart, have mercy. In life there's trials, we can do this. Shaking my head, they're better off, always better off, if I resolve it, here and now. Kneeling, gun positioned to right tempo, a whisper of what? Of prayer? And the sounds of chuckling. Ain't no way, it's too late. I am a disgrace, a pathetic soldier. I am. I can't serve with pride the faith I'm supposed to. Nails of deceit drove through me. A hideous growl. Bent over in shame, metal shatters the sound barrier. Sprawled upon the floor in a pool of desperation, tears. I can't join the other side. A voice. I am here. Sword in hand, I rise, slaying the demons one by one. With mighty strength, the chains fall and the noose removed. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Great read. Wonderful piece by Passion's Promise. You know, at first it all seemed so hopeless. You know, there was just no hope in sight. And then, near the end, he kind of turned it around. Because depression is an ugly, ugly thing. I mean, it can break a lot of people, you know. Trust me. I think everyone's had a bout of it at least once in their life, you know. And sadly, some people can't get out of it, you know. They get hung up in that, you know. I know I've had my little, well, I've had a few little bouts with it. But, you know, I always reach for that darn rope and is to pull myself out usually, you know. But I think that, you know, sprawled upon the floor in a pool of desperation and tears, I can't join the other side. A voice, I am here. Sword in hand, I rise, slaying the demons one by one. With mighty strength, the chains fall and the noose removed. You know, you do. It's a struggle. It really is a struggle, but you have to fight your way back and kind of beat off some of the ideas and some of the thoughts. And you know, it doesn't always work that way. But, I mean, it's the only place you can start, you know. You have to start where it really is rooted. And I think that Passion has captured that nicely. So, well done, Passion Farmer. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, I agree with you. It must be an awful, awful thing because your mind is fighting against your natural wish or need to survive. And it's just pouring negative thoughts in. And sometimes, you know, because things are upset, the balance of your day is upset, you can't sleep, you can't eat, or, you know, or you're drinking too much. That is difficult to get out of. It becomes a vicious circle.
No.
I mean, I've not actually ever had clinical depression. I've been fed up, you know, I've been angry, whatever, but I haven't actually ever had what I would call real depression, deep depression. So I can only sympathize and think how awful it must be to be fighting your own mind to try and get some kind of peace and happiness. Very, very sad. Lovely poem too, beautifully written.
Absolutely. Great comment. I had a girlfriend who suffered from chemical depression. It was just something, her body had an imbalance of chemicals. And she suffered with that for years and years and years. I can say I'm pretty lucky, you know, usually it's brought on by something and I can kind of like stomp my foot and chase it away a little bit, you know. But I think everybody suffers from that occasionally. But when you're really in it, and, you know, it's hard to see a way out. You know, it's like a, what do I want to call that? You know, it's the vicious cycle you get in. That's really what it is, just a vicious, vicious cycle. So, yes. Hey, somebody's raising their hand. I'm only kidding. I missed Phoenix. You have another caller. Hello, Matt29, and how are you tonight? Hello? Matt, are you there? Are you on mute, Matt? If you can hear me, I want you to know I cannot hear you. So I don't know if there's an adjustment you can make on your headset. But I'll give you a couple minutes and I'll pick you back up. So an excellent piece, Fashion Thomas. Love captured. Good score. Well, that's not what I want to post there. Not at all. Hey, I'm getting creative. The next piece I'm going to put up is a piece by Eric Svensson, and it's called How Lighthouses Work. And I have an audio for that. I have to do this finder. There you go.
How lighthouses work. Vastness of spaces between words works like a lighthouse beam. Ship captain guided through peril. Uniqueness of each beam's pause indicates coastline location. Slow down the monkey mind strobe light. Effectiveness enhanced with pauses between phrases. Ships passing in the night. Vagueness of inclement weather cloaks. The golden thread of silence weaves. Ensures word cohesiveness, guides us through peril. Not unlike the tenderness of your finger, opening palmistry's treasure chest in my hand. Warm-heartedness of your passionate heart guides, while sharp cerebral lighthouse beam chides. End poem.
Great piece, Eric. Definitely a wonderful use of the lighthouse as a metaphor. Just really nicely done. And this is kind of a brevity for you, Eric. I'm not used to short poems from you. I mean, but in that, Kate, what did you think?
Yes, that is beautifully, beautifully read and a beautifully interesting poem. I see his AN he has, what the prompt was, write a poem for contest, poetry technique, coin a new word with a ness suffix. All right, okay, so he's got to form a new word, making up a word. That must be fun. Can we spot it? I haven't spotted it yet, have you? The fix of ness.
But I think that, yeah, I think he did a great job with this. I think it was very, I like the parallels that he wrote and pointed out to us all. Minds and our interactions can be like a lighthouse for one another. And I think that that's a wonderful concept. So it was a really well done piece. And I have to say, I like his use of couplets as well. Don't mind me, I'm just trying to I'm going to make these comments, otherwise I have to say I can get back to them. And I'm not good at getting back to anything. And for that, I have to tell the truth.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes, I am awful about that. Hey, Matt 29 is back. Let's see if he can hear us. Hi, Matt.
Yes,
how are
you
today? Oh,
I'm all right. I was trying to get on, and then I thought I wasn't on, but now I am on, so that's good.
You are here, and we can hear you. That's a wonderful thing. I have a question for you.
First time I've ever done this. Selena's told me about it, but I've never managed to do it.
I love it. Well, I'm glad you made it. Do you have time? Are you going to be here for a while, or are you in a hurry?
Yeah, I'm here now for the rest of the evening. I've got up just to do
Excellent. I just try and ask, when I can, because I'm never sure if anyone's pressed. So that's awesome. It's great to have you. Absolutely.
It's a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. You sound like you're a wonderful reading voice. Can I get you to read a poem for me?
Yep. I'll read a poem.
Awesome.
I just need to get
it up. Awesome. Okay, this piece I'm going to put up right now. And this is. Oh, did you happen to hear the one by Eric Swenson? I'm sorry, I should have asked you that first. The one about the lighthouse?
Okay, so.
I wasn't sure if you heard the read of that, if you wanted to make a comment. If not, I understand.
I've got the poem ready.
Hang on.
It's not the lighthouse.
Hang on, I got you all confused. I was asking you if you wanted to comment on Eric's poem. I have another poem for you to read.
It's
just the one I want you to read.
The Arc of Your Gaze.
Okay, yeah, the one I want you to read is called Stay With Me by Cedar Chapman. You got it? I just put it in the room.
Okay, yep, I'm hearing.
Okay, then whenever you're ready, I'll ask you to read Cedar Chapman's piece called Stay With Me.
Okay, so where do I find Cedar Chapman's piece?
It's in the late night poets room, where everyone usually says, hi, how are you, and they chat a bit. That's where we drop the links during the shows. So you may have to refresh the link to the room. Uh, I just put your name in there because I saw you in the room earlier, so I know you know where it is. Whenever you see your name and show my eyes, my name, you'll see the poem right above it. Got it?
Okay.
Okay, Matt. I'll tell you what, I'll let you figure it out. I'll go ahead and give this one a read. You know where the chat room is, right? The late night poetry room. Hello?
I don't think he's there anymore.
I don't know. I see him on the board, but I don't hear him. So, okay. Well, I'm going to read this piece by Peter Samuel, and it's called "Stay With Me." And I'll make it big enough that I can read it. Death's crescendo squeezes blood from my eyes. Each crimson drop scorched with your name. Darkness be filled with twinkling lights that flicker on a midnight cloth. The fright of raving claws be tamed, rise above the mud and slaw. If limbs and ligaments be torn, then crawl. Rise through shards of bluegrass until your knees and elbows are lacerated and worn. Let not the soft wheat thistle of her fingertips sway you like golden oceans that have drowned so many other loves. Hear me wheeze and yowl, whisper our daily bread each day. Prostrate my chest and bowels. Don't silently float away. Rise above the cold abyss. Reach for the warm oak pew. There I shall be kneeling. There I shall be weeping. There I'll be waiting for you. End poem. Nice piece. Kate, you want to kick us off?
Yes, of course. My pleasure. Okay. Well, this is deep, very deep. This is somebody who's had a terrible time. Oh, death crescendo squeezes blood from my eyes. Each crimson drop scorched with your name. Oh, that's very, very sad. I hope it's not true life. I hope it is imagination, but it is beautifully written. This is somebody who's lost somebody and doesn't know what to do. And he's just waiting for a sign, I think, from the cold abyss or wherever, to prove that his love is still there for him. So yeah, very beautifully written, and I thought it was very clever, and I like the rhymes, very good. Yeah, well done as usual, Cedar. Thank you.
Understand, and Cedar really has a wonderful way with his poetry. And let me see, do we have a magic caller? We do. Oh, I got Matt on here twice now. Hello, Matt, and welcome back.
Yeah, no, I think the connection went. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I still show you twice on here, but it's all right. I got rid of one. Hopefully
okay.
It was the right one.
Yeah, this is the right
and
one.
And we have that's all right. And we have Miss Lu Yu Wanda. Hello, Lu Yu.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Good evening, everybody.
Hi,
hello,
my
you,
darling.
Hello.
This is to everybody.
Isn't that just wonderful? Good to have you, Lu. As always.
Happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kate, did you want to start us off on you did start us off with comments about Cedar. Oh, my God. I'm flipping here. Lou, did you hear Cedar's piece?
No, I didn't. I just got on, but I did read over it while I was listening to everybody comment. You know, when you love somebody, and especially if you feel that really deep connection with them, when they leave you, it does feel as if pieces of you are being pulled away and torn away, and pieces of you that just don't want to feel anymore. And, you know, especially with that last stanza where he says, rise above the cold abyss, reach for the warm oak pew, there I shall be kneeling, there I shall be weeping, there I'll be waiting for you. And if we've lost somebody in death, you know, we wait to see them in the next life. This was a heartfelt and deeply sad poem, and it's beautifully written.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Matt, did you hear the poem? Or did you have a chance to read it? Excuse me.
Did I hear
the poem?
Mm-hmm.
I heard the cedar just reading. Hello?
We can hear you.
Yeah. I know you were, you got bumped, so I read the poem by Cedar. I just wasn't sure if you heard it or had a chance to read it.
Well, I actually got to the poem and then started reading it. Then I got cut off.
Yeah, we never heard. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Did you want to make a comment on the piece?
That's all right.
So,
yes, dear.
So, I think it might be perhaps a good idea if Matt would sort of listen for a couple of poems and see kind of how it goes.
Yeah, hello. Listen. I'll listen and comment. That'd probably be better.
And also, Matt, if I could tell you something, there's a 10 or 12 second delay between you stopping talking and somebody else being able to talk. So you wait for a little while so you're not talking over people, and it'll go a lot smoother. So we shall try that, shall we?
There you go. Kate knows all the secrets.
Gaga's just calling from Scotland.
I got my
I'm course. Just getting used to it all because I didn't want to talk over people.
That's fine.
Well, I understand. I did that myself when I started. It's not always easy. I'm still fuffing it all. Fluffing it. I mean, yeah, so.
That's okay.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, we got Naomi in the room. Hi, Naomi. Nice to see you. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put the next piece I have, and that's by S. Sharp. And this is called The Long Winter Hall, and I have an audio for this one. But this is probably over again, so it's fine. Put those behind it. So here goes everything.
The long winter hall. A long hall, winter's cold and trodden path we travel alone. Gray skies shade memories of spring, of summer, where we run across open fields chasing history, chasing memories, holding the sun in one hand, the moon in the other. Juggling the planets in between, like gods or angels, Michelangelo's painting upon the ceiling of the Chapel of Sistine. We wonder what exactly it all means, trudging through the ides of winter to somewhere beyond the brisk winter horizon, where we remain fenced in by winter's cold temperament.
Excellent. Great, Scott. And thank you so much for sharing with us. Always great to hear your audio. Thank you for that. Luyu, you want to start us off on this one?
Yes, I would. You know, I really love this poem that Scott wrote, you know, because it is, you know, winter seems to sometimes last a long, long time. And, you know, it just makes us remember, like he says here, the gray sky shaped memories of spring and summer where we ran across open fields. You know, and it does, you know, sometimes in the wintertime, especially next to a fireplace while looking at icicles, you know, outside your window, you know, there is that longing, you know, even though I find for me, winter is so beautiful. But at the same token, we're stuck in, like he says here, in that winter's cold temperament until the blossoms start coming and we hear the birds chirping, and we have that longing, and I thought that he brought that out beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have to agree with that. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, I agree with what Lou said. It's beautifully written. And yes, sometimes winter can be a little bit daunting for some people. And then you desperately, I don't know if we would appreciate our seasons as much if we didn't have the seasons one after other.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living in a really hot country and you don't have what we have, we can have all the seasons in one day in Scotland. You can get up to the sunshine and then it rains. Come lunchtime, it's sweet and snow. And then, you know, the next morning the snow's gone. That's the kind of place I live in. No wonder I don't know whether I'm on my elbow. But this was beautifully written. Michelangelo's painting upon the ceiling of the Chapel of Sistine. Oh, just lovely. I enjoyed it very much. I hope winter isn't too long a haul for everybody. And we'll get there. We'll get back to spring very soon. Thank you.
Wonderful comment, Kate. And I want to welcome Naomi to the show. Hey, Naomi, welcome aboard.
Hey, Naomi.
How are you tonight?
Hello. Great. I just read the Scots poem. Ah, wow, what an amazing write. And I just read on Facebook today, somebody put up, only 8 Mondays left till spring. Oh, wow, cool. I don't know about that around here, but anyway, but I, you know, I really like this, right? Wow, it's amazing. You know, Michelangelo's painting upon the ceiling of the Chapel of Sixtine, we wonder what exactly it all means. Wow, you know, trudging to the Ides of winter, to somewhere beyond the brisk winter horizon where you remain fenced in by winter's cold temperament. Yeah, we were fenced in often here because it's been snowing and snowing in January. Oh, my gracious, it's crazy. It never stops snowing. As much as we had a mild winter, a mild December, January is just going crazy. It's taking its revenge, I think. But, yeah, what a great poem. What a great poem by Scott here. Just wonderful.
I absolutely agree with that. I thought this was a wonderful piece by Scott. Great imagery throughout. Great lines. I thought it was very well expressed. When you read it, it just kind of has that impact. A lot of references to winter. Winter, brr, joy. But winter's cold, untrodden path we travel. Alone, gray skies shade memories of spring, summer. We'll be run across open fields, chasing history, chasing memories. I thought they were great lines. And just really well done, Scott. And I want to thank you for sharing with us. And thanks for the audio. Excellent job. Excellent job. Hey, Matt's back. Hi, Matt. Welcome back.
Hi, I'm back. Yeah, I don't know what happens. It seems to last for a couple of minutes and then it cuts out, so I have to redial again.
It kind of almost seems like you're getting muted, because when you call back, you're actually still on the line. So I'm not sure if there's a button that mutes you. You know how on your phone, like you hit a button, it'll let you go make another call, or you can put it on mute or what have you. That's kind of what it looks like, but I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm a good guesser.
Okay. No, on the actual tablet I'm using, it just kind of cuts out.
I'll tell
you what we tell everybody here. If for whatever reason the site drops you, just keep calling back.
That's what I'm doing.
It might be that with tablets and things, if you don't touch them for any length of time, they will just shut down unless you keep moving the mouse or doing something with it. It thinks it's not being used and it goes off. So maybe that's it. Maybe just move your mouse.
I'm going to keep on moving my finger on it.
I have a mute button on my headphones. And if I touch that mute button, I drop. I use the mute button on my phone.
Oh, I see.
Because my headphones are connected to my phone, my cell phone. And I use the mute button on my cell phone because if I use the mute button directly, the one that's on my headphones, I get dropped. It unconnects me, so I don't know if that's your problem.
No, I'm not using headphones.
Oh, okay. Okay. Be quiet then, Naomi. Mind your own business.
No, you're not, Naomi.
And that's funny because I learned something new. I thought you had to use headphones in order to call in that way. So that's pretty interesting. I find that intriguing, actually. So that's pretty cool. Oh, the mute is connected to your headphones? Okay, I'll tell you what. I have another audio. I have eight audios, and they all seem to be parked at the same space. So I'm going to put this one up, and this is by Titus Llewellyn. And it's called Dear Baptiste. So, here we go. And, ta-da.
Pierre Batou. She hides ambiguity, longing's quest. It's too long overdue, the smile detests the limelight as if intrigue were to blame. And having to prevent the change of name, reluctance, if you will. Unknown though taint dries slowly, a request so not too faint, remarkably aloof, for one that way, who chose to stand instead with naught to say, illusion holds the idea from the art, of things derived as though were born apart, to veer away from laughter's half-lit smile, surrender all you have, yet wait a while, unable to explain the smile from sad, exhibits fade from good, but nothing bad.
Excellent piece, Titus.
That was
Thank
amazing.
You very much. Would you like to comment on this one, Matt?
Yeah, no, I'll comment on that one. It was really, I really liked that. I really liked the way it had a nice, smooth melody to it, and it was really, really well read.
I agree. Yeah, Titus gives us some wonderful pieces a lot of the time. So, I mean, you know, he's not on every show, but he gives us quite a few. And they're always wonderful. Katie, you want to start us? Not start us off. Would you like to go next?
Yes, of course. Yes, that the music. I know the poet that reading their own work is always wonderful because you get the inflections, the emotion, where he wants to stop or start, etc. But when you get that music behind as well, oh, you're just flying on cloud nine, aren't you? It's just so lovely. And I thought, and having to prevent the change of name, reluctance, if you will, unknown though taint, rise slowly at a quest, so not too faint. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Lovely. Flow to the word. Excuse me, my mouth is so dry I can hardly talk, so I'll just say I liked it a lot. Thank you for sharing.
Nice comment. And Lou, how about you?
You know, I really loved the music that was behind this because it just seemed to just lay like gold flakes to me upon his words and writing. As I was listening to him, you know, to personify this, to look at an artwork where we meditate and we visualize. And, you know, of course, we know how old these paintings are. So, you know, it takes us back to another time where we also get pulled into the painting and also into the artwork, especially like this exquisite wording that Titus had here. This was just so beautiful. You know, where he says, to veer away from laughter's half-lit smile, surrender all you have, yet wait a while, unable to explain the smile from sad, exhibits fade from good, but nothing bad. You know, and it just makes you just look at her face and feel those emotions, and I thought that it was just wonderful. Repent. Thank you, Titus.
Nice comment, Lou. And Naomi, how about you?
Ah, yes, this is amazing. You know, everything from the, you know, his wonderful accent, his enchanting music behind, the rhythm with which he reads also. You know, every time Titus is just, his sound files are just so wonderfully enchanting, and they're so eloquent. You know, they're mm-hmm. so, yeah. And, you know, I just love this. You know, when he says, who chose to stand instead with not to say illusion holds the idea from the art of things derived as though were born apart. And it's true that the, you know, art often, you know, the illusion holds the idea from the art, especially in the Mona Lisa. You know, you always, he captured that that painting so well, I think, you know, that half smile, the all the intrigue between, behind her smile, you know, that we've talked about for ages and ages. So well done, Titus, indeed.
Always, yeah. Absolutely. And let me see. That brings me to, we have another phone call. Lex has come to join us. Hi, Rex. Good to have you.
Oh, my God. It's the sexy Rexy.
I don't know, sound high like a chicken.
Yes.
Hi, Rexy.
Like that.
Hi, Rex.
Hi, gang.
Good to have you, Rex.
My apologies for later.
Who did what? Who? How?
I said I apologize for the lateness.
Oh, well, you know, I'll just dock your pay. It's all right. Oh, my gosh. You know, can't get nothing from nothing, right? Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I just picked up Matt 29 again. Hi, Matt. Welcome back.
Yep, I'm back. What came up was a message on the screen which said that it was going to cancel or it was going to like reload. So after about 10 minutes, it does this.
How about that? I wonder if there's a way to shut that off in the setting. But I don't know. I don't know anything about that. But, oh, well, he's won again. Well, we'll see you when you get back, Matt. Just keep on calling. We'll keep answering. And last but not least, we have Laurent on the line. So hello, Laurent.
Hello, Laurent.
Hello, hello. When I'm late, I am effing late. And I'm late.
So there it goes. And well, Rex, did you hear Titus's poem?
No, I'm barely alive.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, is it the cold weather? Oh, my goodness.
It's a late night.
No, just a busy day.
Busy day. Oh, gosh. I totally get that. Laurent, did you hear Titus's poem?
I'm not sure I... No, I did not, if you're asking me.
Okay. Yes, I was, actually. But
sorry,
okay.
Breaking up just a little bit. My phone's been wonky.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to... Okay. I am going to grab the next piece in the row, and then we're going to bounce around a little bit. But the next one I have... to put up is by Robert M. And it's called Dear Robert. And this is, I have an audio. So I put up the piece. I'm going to hit the audio. And then we'll be good. That's if I can find it. There we go.
This is my recital of Dear Robert. Dear Robert, I am here to tell you the hardest things you will ever hear. I know that you hurt. This is something that I have been akin to since the pain was all-consuming and ever relentless. People will shun you for your invisible torment and will attempt to cut your heartstrings through disrespect and betrayal. You will wander aimlessly, distraught and weighed down by the burden of your sorrow, dragging the ball and chain day to day. Oh, so tired. But none will care. None will see. None will know. You will doubt yourself and will damage your body with self-harm. Those marring badges of shame will haunt you for years to come. But you deserve them, don't you? The ever-burrowing hate that you feel for yourself, I can tell you that it gets worse with time. You just get better at hiding it. The war with your inadequacy? No, it never goes away. You learn to live with it and bury it deep in the pit of regret, and it too will be showered by the ashes of broken dreams and become yet another part of you that you have forgotten. I have to tell you, though it will be hard for you to understand and even harder for you to accomplish, but you need to change. You need to overcome your unwavering sorrow. Use the rage that you possess to make despair your enemy. I know that you are angry and have every right to be, but use that weapon to destroy the blight that will consume decades of your life. Love more, but trust less. Do not cast all of your needs aside for the sake of the poisonous people that will force you from humanity. Though your nightmares and visions keep you awake most nights, do not fear them. Rather, embrace them, since you have an innate ability to see what most cannot and feel deeper than you could ever hope to. Do not lose this, for it is important in your growth as a person. Use your mind. Do not destroy it with suicidal tendencies and self-destruction. You have the ability to do something great in this life. Do not squander it in self-loathing, but rather use your swollen anger to progress and to construct new dreams, dreams that you cannot let die. Do not love as it is something that is fleeting, giving yourself to those who cannot appreciate you. Instead, focus on bettering the worst parts of you and become what you have always doubted that you could be. Feel. Keep that passion and the fire and the want and those stars that seem so unattainable. Keep them with you to wish upon in the darkest of times that is to come. In the height of the madness, run the stardust through your fingers and take in the serenity of all that lay within your hands. Do not heed the call of the darkness, for you will lose your life in that void. You will be enveloped by a loneliness only privy to few, and imprison yourself in your own mind. Do not hide the mirror. Keep tabs on the enemy. The greatest adversary you will know resides there. Do not fall victim to pride, but most of all, do not become me.
Awesome, right? Awesome. Rex, are you going to take over?
Oh, sorry. Sure. The Rob, why don't we start with you, please?
This poem is unremitting in its sadness and in its sorrow. I had a question in my mind of who this apparent letter, if it's a letter, was written to by, and when I got to the end, I was wondering if it wasn't his inner self speaking to him, but that doesn't make a terrible amount of sense, but it kind of felt that way. The pain that is described, all-consuming, ever-relentless, chilled with invisible torment, an aimless wandering, the danger of damaging the body with self-harm, the self-hatred fueled by inadequacy. All those things are hard to overcome, hard to have within you as emotions. But the one bit of advice that made sense to me to overcome unwavering sorrow is to use the rage that he possesses to make despair your enemy, really to fight a war, a pretty constant war. I know it's personal, so I'm having a little bit of an awkward moment in saying too much or too little, but it's a powerful piece. It resonates.
I don't normally jump in the middle, but I have to say that I believe this was written for a contest show that Robert had put on a few years back, and it was write a letter to your younger self. So this is like being where you're at and looking back to where you were and writing. I believe that's what this piece was written for. So definitely an
excellent.
Yeah. Sorry, Rex. You mean interrupt.
Oh, that's all right. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, this is very deep and personal and very powerful, right? I just love, the hope that comes in through the darkness in that stanza that starts with feel. In the end of that stanza, he says, keep them with you, those stars that seem so unattainable, keep them with you to wish upon in the darkest of times that is to come, in the height of the madness. Run the stardust through your fingers and take in the serenity of all that lay within your hands. And, I hope he learned to do that sincerely. I really hope he did. Because, in our darkest hours, we have to look towards the light. We have to see something that, we have to capture that essence of something that brings us happiness, throughout the darkness in life. And, we have to hang on to it. So brilliant, brilliant writing, so well written, and bravo, Robert. Dark, deep, and personal, and very powerful.
Absolutely.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Lou, how about you?
Oh, when you grow up and in your early life, we really have no control over the circumstances and the things that happen around us. And sometimes in love, we can, where he says, love more, but trust less. The thing with Robert is when we all have had our heart broken and betrayed, these leave marks on our soul. And, and it changes us. But the thing is how we evolve when we come out of this. Like with Robert, like he says that he can see things that others can't, because I believe he can because of his suffering. And, he recommended me for the radio show when I didn't believe in myself. And I'm going to start crying. He made me believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he supported me. And he helped me. And he guided me.
Yep.
And I will always be grateful for that love, because I just want him to know that I won't betray him. He has always been there for me, and he is a good friend. And no, you don't want to become the monsters that raised you.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way we learn that either we become them or we become the opposite, where we care more and we love more. And I believe that he is also that person. I know he's very elusive. And I know we call him the Dark King,
but inside his heart is gold.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, the first time I heard this piece, I thought, wow, you know, so powerful, such a painful read. And it was really heart-wrenching in a lot of ways. But he did, however, turn this around and offer such great advice to his younger self. I thought it was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And Lou, that's why he has two birthdays. And anyone who doesn't know, Robin was born on Christmas Day. We kind of reassigned him. We give him a birthday party every Halloween because we say he's the king of Halloween. He's definitely twofold. Which is kind of cool. But yeah, I thought this was just a wonderful piece by Robert, and he does write some incredible work. So excellent job. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing with us, Robert. It was good to read this again. Kind of reminds us, you know, what's all about. Love them.
Great moments, everybody. It's harsh and deeply personal. It's that note to oneself about the abyss. You do not look into the abyss, for the abyss will look into you. And it offers up that note as it walks within, and it's all-consuming. But he offers up that note, do not become me. So this a quiet moment within that abyss, offering up a personal view of that which is, that which will be, but how to avoid that final step where you actually become that part of the abyss. And that is to take note of yourself, embrace what you are, feel passionately, but offer up the hurt in a way that allows you to free yourself in the moment instead of letting it consume you altogether. So,
mm-hmm.
A great piece, and that offering it up as a letter to yourself kind of hits on that note as a reminder, hey, there are some things even deep in the recess of your mind that still offer up a glimmer of hope. And that is the way of not giving in to the to that darkness. So, wonderful piece there, Robin.
That's for sure.
Is Katie still here?
Yes, I'm here, darling.
I didn't know you were here.
Hello.
Well, you should have said something. Not as
Hello.
Clear. What do you think?
Well, I've moved on from there, for goodness sake. I'm on the next one. No, I'm joking. There's so much pain, and I hate to hear people hurting. But life is like that. It's just awful sometimes. And I will say it's a wonderful thing to get those feelings out and onto the screen and read them yourself, but be aware that other people are going to read them and they might be in the same position or close to it. So to have somebody else say, look, you're not alone, this happened, and you can get past it. It takes a lot because it destroys everything. Your sensibility, your fear is there, you're anxious. So yeah. I thought it was lovely, Robert, and I'd love to hear you read it. It was very, very good. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. Great comments. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Weaver of Dreams, and it's called Held. And I have an audio. I don't have to bother that Kate woman to read this for.
<Here we go. laughs> me, filled with the wail of wild winds. Flames flickering, the snap of burning wood brings the scent of pines. Tensions are building, tendrils of desire are quickening, rising. Sensual thoughts induce a frenzied need to touch and be touched. I know you are near, I forget the pain. I am filled with longing. How cruel it is to hide in the shadows, withholding what I crave. Your power over me is absolute. but you know that. You scar me, lift me, drop me to the depths, then with one light stroke of a finger, igniting me a wanton, depraved desire to wrap my limbs around you. Hold tight. You are not a drug I'm addicted to. You are all of me. I'm a mewling, needy mess, such as the sick, depraved dependence I now feel. I accept your dictates so far, because I have no choice. Dragged down by my weak, desperate body's incessant demands, I become used to the bright silver path of your blade on my skin. Something more reciprocal is needed. I want some power in my hands. Naked and chained, half starved, time is short. Then I hear your steps. You won't give, I'll have to take, but I am becoming weaker by the day. I feel you lift me, a mistake, as fingernails grown long on idle hands dig deep into your flat, dead eyes. You scream, try to drop me, I cling on. My teeth open your throat, warm blood fills me as I suck your life away.
Great read, Kate. Thank you for the sound cloud. It is very much appreciated. Hey. All right, Lou, why don't we start with you, please?
You know, I have got to say that Weaver is a fantastic storyteller. She just pulls you in with the simple surroundings. You don't even realize that you're being enchanted by her voice and her poetry. And then she starts the emotions and what's going on that is, you know, around her. And, you know, to have that need for somebody, to love somebody so desperately that does not love you in the same manner. And then when they, you know, especially being starved and deprived, whether it's mental or physical or both, you know, where you've accepted this cruelness, and then all of a sudden you have to, which is brilliant ending, I will make you mine forever and no one else would have you. And that's where she took it as, my teeth open your throat, warm blood fills me as I suck your life away. The satisfaction of him never being able to get away. Fantastic, Katie. Bravo.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Lou. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I said, holy moly, incredible dark work. Your storytelling never ceases to amaze me, Kate, honest to heavens. Naked and chained, half starved, time is short, then I hear your steps. You won't give, I'll have to take, but I am becoming weaker by the day. I feel you lift me, a mistake as fingernails growing long on idle hands, dig deep into your flat, dead eyes. You scream, try to drop me, I cling on. God, I could almost feel that. It was like, you know, one of those images. My teeth open your throat, warm blood fills me as I sup your life away. This is an excellent, excellent piece. Pretty incredible. The imagery in this is like spot on in some of these lines, you know, that you can kind of like envision the whole thing. So in that respect, I think you did an excellent, excellent job with that. So well done. And thanks, Kate. I appreciate you sharing with us.
Thank you so much. So kind.
All right, Jane. And Ron, how about you?
Are you on mute, Laurent?
I don't know if anyone else is getting any cutouts, but like when you just asked my name, apparently it just cut out and I didn't hear it. Katie has said more than once that she really enjoys dark poetry, writing it. And I've had trouble seeing that. I mean, your voice and personality are bubbly and warm, but here we have the proof. That last gripping stanza set forth in a rite that absolutely grips the reader, I can do no more than agree with Jean. And Louis, what a great dark right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rob. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, this is amazing, Kate. You know, the imagery throughout. You don't have to put in. You don't stuff it with fluffy stuff. You just say it as it is. You know, it's believable because of it, because of that. And you know, you just take us on a journey. A wonderful dark journey, and I won't recite the same stanza as Phil did, those lines, but you know, you just wowed me by that ending. I was just there like, wow, come on, yeah, amazing. You of course you captivated me throughout, but that ending, oh my gracious, I was just there, you know. My jaw just fell open, so wow, bravo.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you, Mary. Kate, the dark and essential tone draws on the pain and the pleasure, which offers up a feral verb to the voice itself, and almost a glee in the undertaking, with both the pain that's been delivered, the pain that's felt, but also the understanding of the feral nature and what needs to be done in order to take that next step. Being reduced to almost an animalistic vein in that last stanza itself,
mm-hmm.
Becoming weaker day by day, I feel you lift me a mistake. As fingernails grown long on idle hands, into your flat, dead eyes. You scream, try to drop me, I cling on. My teeth open your throat, warm blood fills me, and I suck your life away. This, not only is that feral, but it's also it got to that point where it doesn't matter anymore. You brought me to this point of darkness, and I welcome it gleefully now as I take that which you have taken from me. Nicely done.
Thank you. I particularly like this because I lost it. I lost it about 7 or 8 months ago. I knew I'd written it, obviously, but it had gone. And I have spent the last 6 months trying to find it. So I'm so pleased when I did.
You try too hard sometimes, and then it kind of eludes you. You
got to
feel the moment.
Yeah, it wasn't even as simple as that, Rex. I actually forgot what it was called. And I didn't know where it was. And I've been through every NPC that I've produced. I've been through everything on my computer and I still couldn't find it. And because I didn't know the name of it, so eventually I found it. So I'm very happy.
Oh,
I the name. Yeah. I literally
I've done
lost
that.
It. Oh, it's
you,
horrible,
you,
isn't
you
it?
Do something, all of a sudden, oh, my God. Did I lose it all together? And then you come across it all of a sudden. Oh, crap. Why did I give it that name?
Exactly.
Now, that's funny. I've done that. You find it a year later. So, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
You can slap yourself for the fact that, wow. Well, at least I still have it.
Yes, exactly.
True.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, Jean. We're coming to you.
Okay. Louis, I'm going to put your piece up next. And Rex, I'll be right back. So
okay.
Don't call me first. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And I wrote this a while back. Darkness really. It is the essence of surrounding darkness that consumes, fills each chalice glass of ebony droplets. Hurtful. Among the dead and old trees whisper fatal lullabies of painful burnt tears. Agonies flow with no gravity as I consume your shadowed black luminescent pearls. willingly, I will always be here for you as I listen to your silent, haunting cries upon this bloodless, unloved night. Nocturne's rituals drink of nebula's vocal waves, absorbing your lustful emotion, a forgotten love. End poem.
Great read, Lou. Thank you very much. And Kate, why don't we start with you?
I actually read this earlier, and I don't ever read anything before I come onto a show. But I just wanted, I knew I wanted to read it so that I could fully understand it. And I thought it was beautiful then. And listening to you reading it, it's even more beautiful. There is such a, oh, there's pain. And there's hurt. And there's no gravity. No, I would like that. No gravity would be fab. oh, but it was just, I just mesmerized by it. Willingly, I will always be here for you as I listen to your silent, haunting cries upon this bloodless, unloved night. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
Nice, Kate. Laurent, how about you?
Well, the image of that face emerging and the title, Darkness is Release, really work well together. And I really like the fact that this poem has a hook. That great first sentence is the essence of surrounding darkness that consumes, fills each chalice glass of ebony droplets, her jewels. You know, we sometimes read a sad poem and we call it beautiful, and we read a poem filled with despair and we call it beautiful, one filled with pain, we call it beautiful. And it seems to be a contradiction in terms, but this darkness, so beautifully wrought, the language, so emotive. The last stanza, I love the way you phrase this, Nocturne's rituals, drink of nebula's vocal waves, absorbing your lustful emotions of forgotten love. It's gorgeous.
Thank you, Laurent.
Excellent. And Naomi, how about you?
I agree with, everybody, and I agree there with Laura there. That first stanza and the last one, you know, really gripped me. But, you know, also charcoal agony's flow with no gravity as I consume your shadowed black luminescent pearls, and among the dead and old trees whispers fatal lullabies of painful burnt tears. Your descriptive words are just amazing. They're just stunning, Louie, through this piece. It makes it so beautifully dark. Yeah, if you can say that. It is so beautifully dark. And all the way through. Just an amazing, stunning write, Louie.
Thank you, Naomi.
And Jean, are you back? No.
I am.
Cool.
I'm sorry. I was on mute and I was over at the poem and I was like, oh, no, I got to write something here. Lou, this is absolutely an incredible dark write. As Laurent said, beautiful is the word that comes to mind because it's beautifully presented to us all. Each stanza is a gem of its own. And I think that it's funny because from start to finish, each stanza just has its own persona. It just has its own thing happening. I don't know how to word it correctly, but I think that each one is wonderful. I was going to pick up two stanzas, and then I was like, well, yeah, and then I went, no, but the last two, I'll go with those. Willingly, I will always be here for you as I listen to your silent, haunting cries upon this bloodless, unloved night. Nocturne's rituals, drink of nebulas, vocal waves, absorbing your lustful emotions of forgotten love. Just just incredible. It really is. It it brings a certain feeling over the reader. It doesn't, you know, it's not a dark feeling. It's like this solemn kind of, it takes you to that place. And you kind of ride through the wave of emotion that you present. And I think you do a fabulous job with it. No matter which direction your rights are going, you always, you know, hit the notes to take us where you want us to go. So beautiful work. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Great comments, everybody. All right, Lou, it's dark, yes, but it's not painful. There's a passionate note to the fact that you're not accepting, you're fully embracing that nocturnality, that ability to look into darkness and see all things and be all things as the darkness offers up anything and everything in the sounds and sights, because you hit on it with a nocturne's ritual's drink of nebulous vocal waves absorbing your lustful emotions of forgotten love. There's a universality in that as you take in those little twinges of bright starlight beaming down, the thought of comets rolling through the heavens. There's a love in seeing beyond the moment of what is around you and looking into deeper into yourself through space and accepting everything that there is within that dark realm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rexy. I don't know if you guys can see in the picture, there is a shadow face of a man above Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
In the background.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's what made me write like this.
Nice.
Okay. Well, I have a feeling Rexy's going to say, we're coming back to you. I just hear him saying it. I do. The next piece I am going to put up, we're going to aim towards Rex because, well, it's a piece by Stelina and him, and I think that they did fabulous stuff, and I have an audio. So, okay, all right, here we go.
They are steamed like a gnawing sax, swinging the blue off a summer night's black velvet pouch. And she was a cool grin sachet of hips, sinuously cutting through swirling purple smoke, leaving a swaying trail these cartoon wolves stalked, with bulging eyes and protruding lollies, choking on beer and bourbon drool.
Smile wasn't gonna work here. He looked like a 44 Magnum, hard and brutal. Leaning forward, he took out a pristine pack of Lucky Strikes. Slowly sliding long fingers under crackling cellophane, unwrapping, he held it out. I bent low, understanding the tightness in his jawline, letting those icy mint julep eyes pour lingering over my milky horizon fall, spilling just enough for I should have cut bait and run, but I was all in.
Not a dainty broad, but nervous all the same, as I spied a single bead of sweat dribble between those bouncing betties. She might have brought me here, but I was leading this here two-step.
As he rose, his sweat-soaked, clinging cotton shirt stirred a familiar ache within me. He smiled knowingly as I squirmed a little on my bar stool. He was waiting and oh so willing to soothe that ache I could tell. He licked his lips. I could already taste the mingling nicotine knob creak spiking my tongue. Do you have it?
Wouldn't be here otherwise. And you can try and play, sweet thing. But I'm leaving, cause while your wiggle and jiggle is bait for most, I'll be needing something a bit more substantial.
His deep, woody, southern draw was a fire on this mountain, cascading down my spine, electrifying my head, numbing my toes. So, you gonna give it to me, or what?
Okay, well,
crazy. Thank you, Selena, for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated.
All right, Jean, why don't we go to you first?
Well, you know, I love this piece. You know, I did. I ate it up from the first moment I listened to it. I was like, oh, keep joking. I think you guys nailed it for sure. Well-written noir piece, great performance. I really enjoyed it. It was top-notch, an amazing piece. I really do. I think you guys did a superb job of it. Nice work. Absolutely.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Lou, how about you? Lou, you there?
Oh, Lou, I think. Oh, wait, she's back. Here we go. Hi, Lou. Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, my God, that was so smoking, southern, hot. You melted the ice cubes in my bourbon glass tonight. I mean, the music was soft and sultry, just like a slow dance. And I loved how you both picked up that southern accent. And then I also could see a little bit of that cartoon. Of course, I can't remember the rabbit. And you did this so perfectly. Not only was the instrumental perfect, but the tone and the voice and the texture and the storytelling was just, like I said, just devilish. It was deep, and, you know, I could just literally see this. I felt like I was sitting in an old smoky bar back in the 1950s, and I could just see this. I could just be a wallflower watching this all happen, watching y'all bait each other and see who's going to win. So who did win, Rexy?
Part 2 hasn't been done yet. And the story it's going to be different.
Loved it, loved it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Lou. And Laurent, how about you?
Hey, this is classic Dark. It's captured in the sugar of her voice and the wise hardness and your no-nonsense appraisal and inner thought. The it remains anonymous, just out of reach. As a literary device, it provides tension and uncertainty as to what it is. The mood music really set the scene and overall tone for what was a first-rate performance. Bravo to the two of you.
Nice, a lot. Thank you. And Kate, how about you?
I'm here. I have to find the little mute button. Sorry. Oh, dear. Yes, beautifully done. I just loved it. I like the two voices are so good together. You did very well, and I love the accent. Selena's so good at accents, isn't she? Clever girl.
Yes, she did. She sucked her part in.
Yeah. Becomes a persona. I like that because it's a deep and personal thing, writing. you share it with people, but it does come from you. And I think she was reliving something here, and I just thought it was wonderful. Such a clever lady and such a sweet lady. So thank you, Selena, for sharing that with us.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kate. And Naomi, how about you?
Ah, oh, this was just fantastic. I just swooned in the whole thing. Oh, my gracious. It was just amazing. You know, that line, I could already taste the mingling nicotine knob creak, but spiking my tongue. Oh, my gracious. That is such a cool line, you know, and the drawl. The southern drawl throughout it all. It is, you know, just a, you know, the amazing noir film, like so many said before, you know, in the first stanza there, the second stanza, those cartoon wolves stalking with bulging eyes and protruding lollies. Choking on beer and bonbon drool. That is so neat too. And, you know, just the emotions, how they're portrayed throughout, you know, her being really, you know, they're both trying to be really cheeky, but each one sees the nervousness in the other. You know, that's so, so well portrayed, the uneasiness there. And, you know, just amazing. Amazing and built of characters, storyline, and the meshing of your two voices together is just producing such a stunning write and recording. So well done.
Thank you. Great comments, everybody. And we're coming back to you, Jean.
That bum, he hasn't been around all week. Naomi, I have a piece for you to read, if you don't mind. And here we go, and it's called "A Dream."
You didn't say my name, did you?
No, I was on mute. I was on mute. Sorry, guys. This is called "And I Dream" is a rise. I bathe in the warmth of my dreams, finally embraced by butterfly trees, the soft flow of their syllables. Four leaf clovers growing in my stomach, sweet spices and ivy syrup, floating in turquoise days beyond the mirror and other worlds. Listening to the rustling wings of sparrows and ravens, whispering through branches, singing of spring, rebirth, the nectar of blooming wild lilies lingering on the notes of their song. As terracotta friends chant comforting incantations, and I breathe in their earthly glow, soothing the sap in my lungs. And poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, je me baigne dans la chaleur de mes rêves. I bathe in the warmth of my dreams. I look at this picture long and hard, thinking if I should write to it. I couldn't really figure out how to do it, yet Naomi grabbed it right off the bat. She is that image. And inventive four-leaf clovers growing in my stomach, floating in turquoise days, as lingering on the notes of this song as terracotta friends. There's so many little perfections of phrasing in this, and it's equally wonderful in French. In fact, I've always found when I read something in French as opposed to English, the French somehow seems to be more emotional, more evocative of an image. I find the English a little colder somehow. So it's nice to see them both together.
Thank you, Laurent.
Thank you, Laurent. And Lou, how about you?
I thought this was absolutely beautifully read, as it were, pen Naomi. I could see you become one with nature and with this photograph. There's just something about certain images and pictures that draw our soul in. And I just, because I love listening to birds. I feed them. I feed finches and hummingbirds. And so I have this closeness with it, you know. And right here, I fell in love with this. Listening to the rustling wings of sparrows and ravens whispering through branches, singing of spring, rebirth, the nectar of blooming wild lilies lingering on the notes of their song. And, you know, I've heard you talk many times about how when you take these walks, how not only does nature infuse us and help with any issues that we have, but we can fall in love with her and fall in love with all these images that you brought it here. I thought this was stunning, as well as it was beautiful.
Thank you, Lulu.
Nice to say, Lou. And Jean, how about you?
But this is just gorgeous, Naomi. Wonderful, wonderful imagery. It was soft. It was sensual. And I loved your lead-in. I thought it was just wonderfully penned. I bathe in the warmth of my dream, finally embraced by butterfly trees, the soft flow of the syllables. And then it goes, yeah. I was moving it. Four-leaf clovers growing in my stomach, sweet spices and ivy syrup, floating in turquoise days beyond the mirror and other worlds. I just think it was stunning. So very well done. Great piece.
Thank you. Thank you, Shiel.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful piece there, Naomi. You've taken that au naturel look from the tree itself and offered up the au naturel view in nature, and that which comes alive when spring returns, and the growing need and pleasure drawn off of the spring rain, and that which comes with those spring rains, the birth of everything, the birds and trees, the return of leaves, the return of butterflies, and all things buzzing in the moment where the world comes alive. And it's a breath of fresh air for one who actually takes in time to notice and view it all as it unfolds, as well as enjoying that rebirth itself, too. So, nicely done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Jean, we're coming back up to you.
Oh my goodness. I figured out where I was going. I think I was going there. Okay. And the next piece I have. Laurent, if I can get to the read this piece, it's called X. So whenever you want.
All right. I really have no explanation for this poem. It just felt like telling this story. Called Axe. Cursed, the vanquished lay in their abattoirs of armor, a red tide pouring forth from the deep cleaving of bones by a mighty axe. Axe, so named for his weapon of choice, stood alone, surrounded by the dead and dying amid battlefield mist, buzzing clouds of carrion blowflies. Overhead, long wings spanned the air currents, a distant wheeling in a blue sky, incongruously clear as a vault to the depth that overspread the plane of dreams. He squinted into the sun, thanking his gods for victory, nay, for survival. Axe was older, and the dead grew ever swifter, and one yet to come would be swiftest yet. Axe grew unsteady. A wash of heat filled him brimful, and he sat suddenly in the midst of gore and the madness wrought by men. Years. memories of combat were gnawing at him. Perhaps he had fought his last fight. A gasped moan drew his eyes, and he cursed loudly as the helmet fell from the head of a young woman. Her eyes clouded with pain as she struggled to sit. "By Mithra's truth, you live," he exclaimed. "Come, I will aid you in crossing the bridge of separation, as all souls must." "Don't," she responded in a husked whisper. "Hear me first, mighty warrior. Your beard is gray-flecked. Your eyes hold the truth of you. Age and aching bones tempt your spirit with thoughts of peace, a wife and children, games of pool, drafts of wine." Struggling to speak, she continued, "I can give you these things, should you spare me. I am named Ninil for the Lady of the Air. Fate placed me here for you to find." So ends part one of the Saga of Axe.
Great read, Ron. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, well, I really like this so much, Laura. You know, you start the story by laying down the landscape, laying down, you know, situating us. And, you know, so lovely, you know, and so seizing the way you describe it, your descriptions. And then you describe, you start us into the, you know, the character and describe him. And then the story starts to unfold. And wow, you know, what a captivating write. Like, you have all the pieces here smoothly flowing together for a great, great saga, for sure. This is just amazing, Laura. Great, great, great.
Thank you, Naomi. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, hello. Yeah, so I thought this was wonderful. I can't wait for the next part. I like that he squinted into the sun, thanking his gods for victory, nay, for survival. Axe was older, and the dead grew ever swifter. And one yet to come would be the swiftest yet. Beautiful. This is going to be so good. We need to write a few of these. I really enjoyed it, and thank you very much. My voice is going. I apologize. But thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Kate.
Nice, Kate. Thank you. And Louie, how about you?
You know, I really enjoy gripping storytelling that just pulls you in into these battlefields of, and also into the mythology. That was unexpected when you went into that in the second half. It made me enjoy it even more. I also come from a line of warriors. My father was in the military. My uncle was a ranger. And, you know, we hear different storytells, and a lot of times the story is told in the warrior's face. And I really liked how you brought that up. Your beard is gray, black. Your eyes hold the truth of you. Age and aching bones tempt your spirit with thoughts of peace, a wife and children, games of wool and drafts of wine. You know, things that some warriors want. But what I liked is where she says, struggling to speak, she continued, "I can give you these things, should you spare me? I am Ninil for the Lady of Air. Fate placed me here for you to find, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen next in this story, in this adventure, and what love will develop. I can't wait to read more, Laurent."
Thanks, Lou. Actually, I hope this is just one part of a multi-part written kind of for a
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Luke. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was an excellent and intriguing write. You know, it was great imagery and it was very descriptive. And I hope you follow through and write the next part. I really enjoyed it. Nothing like a good story, you know.
Thank you.
Great job.
All right. I know this is written straightforward, but the tone of it has me thinking that there's something to come in this that doesn't meet the vein you're pulling on right now.
You are so wise. You're right.
That thought with Anil kind of hits me with the angle of a Valkyrie, and he's being offered up right, so to speak. It's as though you're going to go into a realm, or I think it's going to go that way. Like she's going to offer up something special instead of the halls of Valhalla. He'll be given maybe the fields of Elysium to draw on. Coming, like going forward, so it'd be nice to find out where you're going to go with this, because I know it's going to get twisted.
You will.
Excellent. All right, coming back to you, Jean.
Okay, Matt 29. I know you're here, maybe only in spirit. Okay, I'm going to put your piece up. Can I get you to read it for us?
Yep, I'll read it.
Okay, there it is. It's on the board, so whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm still here. Where is it? Oh, I've lost it now. Oh, right. This is just not happening. Hello.
Happens to us all, my friend. Take your time.
I just want to make sure I don't go again.
No, we hear you.
Oh, that's good.
We hear you.
Right. No. Oh, wow.
Okay, let's
I found it. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay,
the Ark of You Gaze.
Right.
Seeing you sitting there patiently in the grass, your long auburn hair flowing in the wind, picking all the daisies and forming into chains, time is endless for you as you embrace childhood. Your face full of joy and excitement. Sending a ladybird, you reach out your hand. Your finger is inviting, and soon the ladybird is there. You watch with interest as the ladybird explores. I see your blue eyes peaked with fascination. Your face light up as you hear the bird sing. Asking when lunch is, I open the basket. You squeal in delight when you see the contents. I watch in awe at the arc of your gaze. At the wonders of life.
Great read, Matt. Thank you very much. And let's get you some comments. Jean, why don't we start with you?
I swear you always know when I'm not ready. I swear. You do, every time. You know, I thought this was a great piece, Matt. I was trying to, like, poke through it and see where I wanted to, like, draw from. But I think that it was really well expressed. You know, seeing you sitting here patiently in the grass, your long auburn hair flowing in the wind, picking all the daisies and forming into chains, time is endless for you as you embrace childhood. I think it's so relatable to all of us, you know, with childhood and, you know, just the innocence of the things we did as kids. You know, not everybody was so innocent, but I think we all gave it a whirl. And I think that, you know, you really moved it along a bit, you know, throughout. And I think that it was really just wonderfully done. I see your blue eyes peak with fascination. Your face light up as you hear the birds sing, asking when lunch is. I open the basket. You squeal in delight when you see the contents. I watch in awe as the arc of your gaze at the wonders of life. Just, yeah, you know, there's nothing like the like children. They're really, you know, they just, you watch them just soak it all in like a sponge. And I think that you captured that well. So nice work.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
And Ludio, how about you?
It was wonderful to hear you read for the first time, Matt. I really enjoyed your voice. And I like the way that you read this poem. You read it as if you were softly watching this actually happening as you read it. And, you know, Phil read the first stanza, and, you know, you take us to a place where you're in nature, and somebody who loves nature, especially in that second stanza, how she gets excited when she sees that bird. You know, there is something to me in certain people, because this is not everybody. Not everybody loves the simplicity of a picnic basket, loves the simplicity of going to a park and watching the wildlife and talking to the wildlife, like I like squirrels. And, you know, to see that beautiful gaze as you watch them look at all these wonderments, and they truly enjoy it. And I just thought this was beautiful.
Thank you. I do. I love the simplicity of life.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And Laurent, how about you? But you got to unmute first.
Pardonnez-moi. Matt, I think the wait was worth it. This is a nice little piece. I see your blue eyes peak with fascination. Your face light up as you hear the birds sing. Asking when lunch is, I open the basket. You squeal in delight when you see the contents. It's the arc of gaze, the wonders of life that you reiterate through this that creates such a beautiful image, a world of flowers. I like the descriptions. And I thought it really contained a certain sweetness to it, which I like, an innocent sweetness. And I like your read. So, bravo.
Thank you.
And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you really captured, you know, you say in the last line, I watch in awe at the arc of your gaze, at the wonders of life. But you really captured her awe, her innocent child-like awe, you know, that wonderment that you see in a child, that you know, that their imagination and their mind is sparked by every little thing, especially in nature, a ladybird, the contents of a picnic basket, the singing of the birds. You captured all that childish excitement and wonderment in this poem. It's just beautifully, beautifully written, Matt. Thank you
Thank you, Naomi. That means a lot. Thanks.
And Katie, how about you?
Oh, I'm here. Yes. I think it was lovely. It was all worth waiting for, as far as I'm concerned. I love ladybirds. So there you are. I'm a sucker for them. But I thought it was... I won't tell you that story. It's horrible. Anyway, I like it very much. I think I might. I see your blue eyes peak with fascination. Your face lights up as you hear the birds sing. Asking when lunch is. I open the basket, you squeal in delight when you see the contents. There's a beautiful simplicity in those words and the flow of them, which I really enjoyed. I also love picnics so much. And sometimes I just make a little picnic in the house if the weather's bad, just to have a picnic.
So, yes, I can fully appreciate it. And a ladybird, a ladybird, Luyu, is a tiny, tiny little two-winged creature. And it's got bright red. It's not wings because they're not, you know, they're not like a butterfly. It's a sort of a what's that word? Carpaged? Anyway, red. And they, thank you, yes. Red. And they have little black dots on them. And they are the most cute.
Oh, how pretty.
They are so cute. A woman had once heard that ladybirds eat lava. They eat the little worm things that sit and destroy your plants. So she bought a whole load of them in a box, flown from China, I think. She got them, and she opened the box, and she let them fly onto her plants. And she got up the next day, and they're all gone.
Gotta look for more bugs.
Oh my!
Oh no!
I mean, I presumed when I heard the story at the beginning that she put them into her her glass house or whatever, but no, she put them in the garden. I wondered why they died.
Oh,
poor lady.
Anyway, oh no!
So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Matt. I really enjoyed it. I want long auburn hair flowing in the wind. It sounds so romantic. Anyway, thank you for that.
Great comments, everybody. Matt, I see a duality in this. Even though it reads as a child on a picnic, so to speak, I can look at this also as you seeing the woman you love enjoying life in the moment and those tidbits of childlike behavior that she still imbues. The thought of the chirping birds, the ladybug, all that encompasses a picnic on a sunny day in a field where there's nothing but the two of you in the moment. And this is your offering up of her. Whether that's true or not, it doesn't really matter, but I can see both sides of this. So it was very well done. All right, Jean, I guess we're coming back to you.
Okay, the next one I'm going to put up is by Poetic Picasso, and it's called The Imp of the Perverse. And I have an audio for you. Imagine that. And here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot explain the simplicity of words of what I have become, a sinister caricature of the worst abominations of all mankind. From the deep depths of the pits of a fiery brimstone he has risen to cause destruction and demise to my remaining sanity intact. I ponder at night during my dreaded episodes of delirium such horror. Will I ever be able to tame the wild fervor of the beast lurking in me? Can I control the wicked impulse to kill again with absolute indifference? Shall I yield to the erotic madness of his profligation uninterrupted? For a whole decade I've eluded the ultimate capture of my detention. I've continued my seductive game of daring deceit and calculations, exploiting my keen wit and ability to pose as a dapper gentleman daily, whilst the world of the Victorians gasp in horror at my devilish deeds. I murder because I delight with the wonderful whims of empowerment, and I profit mightily from the lone inheritance of property and estate, by which I have usurped such a masterful connivance of a genius. Yet the risk of my exposure will be irreversible and lead to my downfall. The Imp of the Perverse is a familiar name to the common ego, but it's a thought-provoking man to behave as a ruthless animal, not as the mere man of reason and human comprehensibility. I am the prime example, the deviated perversion unleashed. There is no passion in nature, so demonically impatient. As out of him who, shuddering upon the edge of a precipice, thus meditates a plunge. Who am I still dare to ask? I am you, the face of your demon. Can you hear the giggling?
Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Kate, why don't we start with you?
Yes, thank you. Sorry for the delay. Oh, dear. Yes. This scared the bejesus out of me with that laugh. And I saw the ha-ha, but I didn't expect it would be exactly that evil. It's so cool. Yes, I loved it. As usual, beautiful storytelling. Beautiful read. And thank you so much for sharing. I'm afraid I can't talk too long because the voice is going. But thank you very much. I really enjoyed hearing it.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. Laurent, how about you?
God is my witness. I don't know where my head was when you started the SoundCloud of the Imp of the Perverse. But as his voice rasped out, I literally jumped halfway out of my chair. I felt a moment of genuine fear. It was pretty remarkable. I was totally unprepared for that. Boy, oh boy. Frank, I ponder at night during my dreaded episodes of delirium such horror. Will I ever be able to tame the wild fervor of the beast lurking in me? And I enjoyed his posing as a dapper gentleman daily, whilst the world of the Victorians gasped in horror for my devilish deeds. This poem has a flavor of that Victorian era, when I think grotesque literature of horror, literature of murder, was all the rage. And I got to admire the way he wrote that I don't want to say mimics, but employs the tone and styles, the period. Great right.
Thank you, Laurent. Naomi, how about you?
Naomi Black. Yeah.
Oh, Lou Yu, how about you?
This was actually horrifying. This just reminded me so much towards the end where he starts, it that Vincent Price flavor, the Night Stalker, things that bump in the night that you want to hear it, but yet if you could hear that laughter behind you, that insanity, who am I, you still dare to ask? I am you, the demon, the face of your demon. Ha ha ha, can you hear me giggling? And God, that would be the worst. There is no way I could not hear that and just not be frightened out of my bejeebas. Deliciously dark, deliciously slow, and with that flavor that I could see in England of those murderous people stalking in black coats and hats and that thick, thick mist that you can't see. This is absolutely horrifying and well-written. Bravo, Frank.
All right. Thank you, Lou. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was an excellent work by Frank. I thought it was well-penned as well as performed. A great take on the prompt. The prompt was, there is no passion in nature so demonically impatient as that of him who's shuddering upon the edge of a precipice. Thus, maybe I could send. A lot of quotes. But I thought it was really well done. I kind of picked up the last couple stanzas and, of course, the last two lines as well.
I thought they were just really great. So excellent job, Frank, and thank you for sharing with us, as always. It's always a pleasure to have your work on board.
Great comments, everybody. And absolutely, there's a whole lot in this. There's a little bit of a Poe. There's a little bit of a nod to Jack the Ripper. And there's a nod to another one. I can't remember her name, but she used to marry men, then knock them off with arsenic to get their money, their property, and such. So you've got that in there. it's a nice mix of a number of thoughts and personalities that gives rise. Yes, you may not know who I am, but if you look in the mirror, you will know who you are, because you are the face of that demon. Nicely done, Frank. All right, Jean, got to come back to you for the closing angle.
Yes, absolutely. I want to thank everyone who called in tonight. Matt, it was great to have you here. You'll figure it out. There's something in your settings you just haven't found it yet. Lou, thank you for calling in. I know that it's been a little rough on you. Thanks for calling in, as always. Rex, thank you for co-hosting with me. Naomi, it was a pleasure to have you here. And Kate, hey, thanks for hanging with me. I appreciate it very much. It was good to have you here in the beginning. I was here by myself. I said, uh-oh. Thank God Kate called in. But it was
my pleasure. It was
wonderful. It's been good to join you.
Oh, welcome anytime. Over to hear you, Matt. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yep. Anytime. We're here usually. Some of us are anyway. And great show tonight, everybody. And I do have some carryovers for next week, but I will put them up on the new board. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 carryovers. I think that's my new number. I do 8 every week. 7 or 8. But excellent night of poetry. And thank you again, everybody. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Great show, Phil. Great show, Rexy.
Thank you, Phil. Very good
show. Fabulous, fabulous.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
All right, good night, Phil.
Much love. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.